This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Erin Green, and we are on the clock on this good Wednesday, the 16th of February, 2022. Now, I'm a little calm, a little staid this morning, because it's a hot show. On this week's episode of The Bahamas, I already have about 35 things on my list that I want to talk about. But I had to bring in studio with me this morning my good friend, Mr. Cecil Newry, because Mr. Newry has his finger on the pulse of what's trending in the Bahamas. You see, me, my WhatsApp inbox is like a cell at the nunnery on Nassau Street. It's empty. It's dry. There's nothing in it. People don't send me information because they feel like I'm the type of adult tish person that would say, do not send me these things. They are inappropriate or they are rude, you know? I believe that's how people sort of treat me. So my inbox is dry. I want to say, I mean, like, how dry? It's dry like Dr. Darvill's humor. It is dry, 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 dry. Because the good doctor is full of nothing but jokes this morning in today's paper. But I brought Mr. Newry in with me this morning so that he can help me figure out what it is that we should be paying attention to in this week's episode of The Bahamas. You know me, I could get stuck on traffic all day, but I started off my list this morning with the fire on Cumberland Street last night. There was a big fire, it seems, an abandoned or derelict building next to or adjacent to or near to Hillside House, museum and gallery, set ablaze. Maybe, you know, it was, what they call that, combustion. It just
Spontaneous.
Spontaneous combustion. I have a feeling that in its derelict condition, that maybe people were occupying it.
Yes.
Illegally. You know, irregularly. Because everybody needs some place to live. Maybe they were occupying it irregularly. And instead, anyway, there was a fire on Cumberland Street last night. And I think that's important. You know why?
Why?
Because we've had a murder at Government House on Cumberland Street.
Yes.
We've had a traffic fatality on Cumberland Street. Countless, every day, countless, countless traffic infractions, moving violations. Right? I saw some tourists look like they get knocked down on Cumberland Street the other day. And the powers that be just refuse to pay attention to it's like Cumberland Street is they like bad shirin. They begging for you. It's begging for your attention. All kinds of agencies have a duty of care as it pertains to Cumberland Street and the things on it, or things that happen on it and around it. Yet these things continue to happen as if the whole area is a derelict desert, right? Like nothing is be happening there. But that's the center of town. That's where your traffic comes from, over the hill.
Yes.
It comes from the east.
Yes.
Right? That's where we all meet up. The traffic comes from the west to come back into town. Right there. And so this morning, when we came off of Cumberland Street in front of the Hilton, there's a roadblock.
What do you mean a roadblock?
When police in the road and they tell you stop your car.
Okay.
Except with Bahamian roadblocks, see, because as far as I know, to have a roadblock, there has to be a reason for a roadblock.
Not in the Bahamas.
I mean, in the law books. Maybe not in the Bahamas, but in Bahamian law, because those are two separate things.
Yes.
So when you go around, but Bahamian police do is that they, it's like, I don't want you to say with certainty that I stopped you or mm-hmm. flagged you down, because if you do that, then it's actually a roadblock.
Yes.
But if I could suggest or make you believe
it's a roadblock
that I am, no, that I am indicating that you should slow down or stop.
Okay.
But I didn't actually do it, but I made you think that I did. And you, so you slow down of your own volition.
Mm.
I didn't make you stop your car because this ain't a roadblock. But to stop people's cars in the road, you have to have a reason because that's a roadblock.
Mm.
But they had no roadblock because when I asked the officer what's the purpose of the roadblock, he told me because we just doing our job.
Mm.
And I thought to myself, but how much easier would it be for you to do your job right around the corner on Cumberland Street?
Mm.
Where I guarantee you, every 30 minutes, there is at least one moving violation.
Mm.
I guarantee that. If I had children, I'd put my children on it.
Mm.
Like how some of y'all is put y'all children on y'all retirement plan, like as a part of your retirement plan, like that.
I'm mortgage.
Right. I'd put my children on it. But y'all decided to set up a roadblock in front of the Hilton.
Hmm.
And I just don't understand why. Because Cumberland Street is where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the things are happening. Is it me? Am I unaware of a Ministry of National Security plan? Are there drones? Are y'all, in 5 years, are we going to see this amazing, comprehensive plan based on documented evidence and strategies devised from the data, the images collected from that intersection?
You mean the national security doesn't have a plan? Is that what you're trying to say?
I mean, if they do have a plan, I'm sure they have a plan.
Yeah.
Do they have it in hand? Like, do they know where it is another thing entirely.
But surely they have a minister, and that minister needs to explain the plan to the Bahamian people.
Yeah.
But perhaps bullet points. You don't have to go in detail.
No. I mean, and you could put it right under on the Royal Bahamas Police Force list, the mandate, the things that they are mandated to do, put it right under the number two slot. Put it in number three, because number two is every police officer is a traffic officer. Put it right underneath there for more.
So the Bahamian people understand exactly what is the mandate and what's the job of police officers?
Yeah. And so the police officers will understand
mm-hmm.
what is the mandate and what is the job of the police officers. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this, as I talk about the police a lot, and a number of people are concerned. They say, man, Aaron, you got to ease off of the police. I'm not doing anything to the police.
No.
I'm raising concerns. I'm offering critique. I'm not afraid of the police because the police are my friends.
Police
despite
are your friends.
The fact that they told me that they weren't going to investigate who was stalking me. Mm-hmm. And when Batelco told them it wasn't waited to investigate it, mm-hmm. that they didn't follow up on it. So despite all of that, the police are my friends. I don't expect any retaliation from doing my job as a citizen, you know?
So you can be feel free to critique them.
As we all should feel free to critique them.
Interesting.
That is our job. Not to run scared from them, not to cower from them. That is our job. And certainly, we shouldn't be made to feel as if we are harassing the police by pointing out to them gaps, by offering critical interrogation,
mm-hmm.
and by saying things like, hey, officer, if you weren't in your cell phone while you were on duty, you would notice that traffic violation.
Well, that's bold.
I mean, it is very bold, but I think it's necessary sometimes.
Mm. You're a renegade. I'm kind of concerned about you.
Well, you know, I was concerned too.
Yeah.
So are the people that send me threats regularly.
Mm.
Who are not concerned is the police.
No.
That much I know. Anyway.
The police are busy dancing during their drills. That's what it is. They're busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having fun.
Well.
Instead of policing.
Half the time. Yeah. Half the time we know they're busy not having fun. Right? Like we know that.
Yeah.
Half the time we know that they're busy being overwhelmed. Half the time we know that they're busy, like Nassau Street Police Station.
Yeah.
You know how difficult it is to run a police station and you don't even have a hammer to remove the hurricane clips from the window
no.
so you could let the sun shine in?
No, just one dark place.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be rough
mm-hmm.
working under those conditions.
Mm.
So we understand that a part of the reason why the force is not functioning is because the powers that be refuse to give them the resources necessary or to implement the policies required.
So it's not resources. It can't be resources. They just got all them million-dollar drones. They have the money.
It ain't even the drones. You seen the police Segway?
Yeah, man. Nice.
Look here. About 2 weeks ago, I saw about 85 police vehicles heading down, let's see, Bay Street, mm-hmm. and two of them Segway in the back, yeah. doing the back duty.
I bet you they had no helmet on.
I noticed that, too.
Yeah. The police don't wear helmets.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
Because they don't have them.
No.
One time I was stopped by a police officer for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we spent 3 years in the courts determining that there was no reason why they stopped me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He didn't have his ID number on.
Oh.
And I asked him to identify himself. And he had a problem with that.
But of course. How dare you ask him such a question?
I mean, because that's what it says in the manual. And so I said, when his senior officer came, I said, listen, I'm having difficulty with this officer. We can't get past the most basic point. He wants to take my driver's license and walk around the corner with it on his cell phone, having what it seems to be a private conversation about my personal details.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I can't get him to identify himself, and he doesn't have his uniform number on his sweater.
Mm-hmm.
So the senior officer asked me if I wanted him to be cold.
Oh.
Because it's cold and he should be able to wear a sweater. So I explained to him that a uniform sweater has a space designated for your ID number that you're required to wear by law. And he said, well, they don't bias them.
Ouch.
Yeah? Mm. Yeah, they don't bias them. So I had to try and figure out who this guy was. I mean, we figured that out. It took 3 years to figure out that there was no reason for me to get a ticket or be in court,
mm-hmm.
other than I had locks. You know, yeah. other than that, you know. Anyway, the point is this. We know that the police force does not have the resources necessary to do its job.
Mm.
That doesn't mean that citizens should suffer or should shut up and just eat it. It doesn't mean that we should sit and be thankful that at least somebody answered the phone, even though they're never going to send a car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get that part. But this thing about the dancing, where in the manual does it say that the officers could dance with guns?
And with guns.
And how are you going to encourage a culture of appreciation for gun safety, for adherence to the laws pertaining to guns and gun usage?
But there are behemoths who think it's cute. Say, kiki, kiki, we could laugh with the police.
Yeah, see, people who can't get the police to come to their house find nothing funny with that, though.
Mm.
You know, people who are waiting for police officers to show up on the scene of accidents, we don't find these things funny.
Mm.
I just wonder. Anyway, that was particularly troubling.
Yes.
And
I blame leadership.
I'm wondering if we're going to get a statement from the Ministry of National Security as to the event. You see, because I know the U.S. government know
mm-hmm.
that happened
mm-hmm.
because they still tracking and recording and, mm-hmm. and collecting and documenting every call made in the Bahamas.
Yes.
And I imagine every means of digital telecommunications as well.
Yes. So they saw the police dancing, acting like a fool.
Right. I wonder if they write the commissioner of police and ask him if he's aware of it.
Or just hold their head and say, look at the behemoths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a problem.
Mm.
And I don't think you're going to encourage, instill, evoke, inspire the discipline or the respect for the police force from young people and communities collectively, and older Bahamians as well, if this continues to happen and it happens and it's not addressed.
Mm-hmm. A constant deterioration.
Yeah. But yesterday I talked about systems falling apart and the people who have a duty of care to the system. And to the people, you have a duty to the system and a duty of care to the people that the system in some way manages.
Mm.
And so, caller, I see you on the line. Give me 1 second. That make me want to ask Dr. Darville what's happening. In today's Guardian.
Go ahead.
Second part of the paper, the bottom of the fold. Darville is quoted as saying, we have to beef up healthcare before ending restrictions.
Interesting.
That ain't interesting. That's infuriating.
Well, he tells jokes. He's a funny dude. You didn't laugh?
No.
I laughed.
No, this is the one instance where I didn't laugh.
That's because you lack humor.
No, that's because I lack a humerus. There's a bone
yeah.
in your body. I think I broke it, but I wasn't able to get... I kid. I actually...
You're funny. I'm listening.
I actually broke my toe one time. Mm-hmm. I think I broke it. I'll never know. Because when I managed to hobble myself to PMH, the technician, the person who refused to identify themselves but obviously worked there, told me, oh, well, you're going to have to wait 2 weeks before you could even get an X-ray, miss.
Interesting.
I was like, what? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, cheapest you come back, you're going to have to wait 2 weeks before you could get an X-ray even.
Make an appointment.
So I said, but you see my toe, right? And he said, I mean, let's look at the there's nothing we could do.
Yeah.
I went and I found a patient's advocate only because I saw a sign on a door when I was trying to hobble my way to the right clinic, you know. And even the person who was in the office was surprised that I came seeking their assistance.
Yeah.
It was slightly hilarious. Yeah, so Dr. Darville, what do you mean? You mean that you are not going to ease up on the restrictions to our human
forever
rights?
Forever.
Forever, because y'all ain't never fixing the hospital.
I laugh. It's funny. We could be restricted for life.
Right. I mean, first of all, and I know that you're not as handsome as Justin Trudeau.
No.
Justin Trudeau could get up on the television and say a whole bunch of foolishness because, in the global North aesthetic,
yes,
this boy is an Adonis, right?
He's handsome.
Yeah, no. No.
Darville is not handsome?
You guys haven't even taken a pay cut to ensure that your own medical staff have PPE, personal protection equipment. Mm-hmm. But you expect us to believe that in some way you're going to prioritize the enhancement of the healthcare system? You didn't even set a standard. You don't even have a list of criteria, a standard, right? Like a timeline. Mm-hmm. And this is what we're going to hit, and then we're going to reduce this restriction.
Yeah. But Behemoth got up and chaired for that.
Look here.
They said that was a good speech. That was great.
People got up and chaired for that?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Where?
Saying there's hope. Help and hope is on its way.
They don't let people into the cabinet briefings. Remember, they shut down the whole access
to the media.
I mean.
You still could meet them outside, though.
No, I thought that's what it was, that you couldn't meet them outside.
Oh, Lord.
Because of the nature of the security, right? Like the security dynamics at the office of the prime minister.
Yes.
Which is why the office of the prime minister and the cabinet office shouldn't be in the same place.
No.
Not just that. How do you maintain the illusion of independence, right? Like the prime minister and cabinet are separate. How do you maintain these illusions if they're right in the same building? Mm. Anyway, I like it when you catch Darville off guard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that they just caught him off guard. I'm hoping that what Clint was attempting to avoid is moments like these.
Gaff.
Where once, you call it a gaffing, where one slip of the tongue could destroy your entire administration's outlook.
Mm.
Because everybody and their mama and the conk on Montague Ramp.
Mm-hmm. Don't know.
They don't know that poor people must die so mediocre people could get a political paycheck. I mean... Mm-hmm. I'm stunned. Anyway, producer, if you don't mind, Cecil.
Go ahead, man.
Producer, let's go to this call. I had them waiting a little longish, and then we can go to a break. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Caller, day, this is Doc in the West, along with you, Aaron.
Good morning, Brayman. Blessings.
Pretty eyes, Grant. Yuri.
Hey.
You need justice and law and order in this country. But what I want to say, right?
Yeah.
If the Sox and Superstars was able to buy what you would call body armor for the police, I think they should be decent enough to buy their own hat.
Yeah, their own helmet, eh?
Their own helmet, that's right.
And
we take all of our money and bought them bodyguard.
Body armor.
Yeah, police vest.
You see what I'm saying?
What? Police vest?
Right. Yeah, there's police vest. Some time ago, yeah.
That's what we did with our money.
Yes.
And give it, not only that, give it to one other country, and just carry on so slack in our country.
Thank you, Brayman.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You see, let me tell y'all how y'all is hurt people's, how the political class disregards the psychological health and emotional wellness of the people they pretend to rule over, right? You mean the Saxon superstars put together and raise money in their impoverished communities?
Yes. Inner city communities
to buy protective gear for the police.
Mm-hmm.
For the police them to sometimes be running through their community acting like it's a rodeo. Mm-hmm. Like it's just time to ring up and gather up all the young Negroes.
Cowboy, Western.
I mean, and that's how y'all think people want to live? And in the same way, Dr. Dava, listen, I can be honest with y'all. Not one of y'all have taken a pay cut yet. We still have not started the investigation, let alone reached a conclusion as to the status of the children that purportedly orphaned and taking care of themselves in the quote-unquote wilderness in Abaco from Dorian. Y'all got one of y'all political colleagues.
Lord.
Sue the government.
The audacity.
Because the contract was terminated at the end of the appointors, right? The person who appointed you's term. And we still don't know where the domes are.
No.
We still don't have a missing persons list that can be publicly accessed. We still don't have an accurate count of the people who are missing from Hurricane Dorian.
We just don't know.
We still got people talking about they have DNA. Where do you have the DNA? Where are you storing it?
Why no one has been identified yet?
What facility are you storing it in? I don't think that the political class is taking this task seriously, nor do they understand their constitutional obligation to engage the citizen substantively. That means like real, no slapping up, no pretending, to engage the citizen in the process of governance in all of its parts. Anyway, that's my music, Cecil.
Yeah.
That means it's time for me to take a break, take a breath. We're going to a break. We'll be right back. So stay tuned to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the Solution. Sponsor On the Clock of Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.C., 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 J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Peace of mind. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Of course, your station for fresh news, smart talk, all day. You're On the Clock with Erin Green and my guest co-host Cecil Newry for this week's episode of The Bahamas. I'm going to Cecil, let me read these texts.
Yeah, man.
Good day, Miss Green. I was wondering where that smoke was coming from this morning. Also, hello to C.A. Newry. Miss him from Nahaja's show. Look here, we all miss him from Nahaja's show. We miss you too, Nahaja. You see the boy calling yesterday, but I like how you like sports, Miss Green. I tell him I got big shoes to follow because Nahaja was initially a sportswoman.
Yes.
Man. And then so I said, man, if Nahaja could do it, I could do it.
Yes.
But Nahaja did a great job.
Yeah. What you know about cricket?
But look here, crickets.
Oh.
First of all, what I know about cricket is Caribbean people love it. And if you are a Caribbean person, you really must have a degree of respect for cricket, even if you don't understand it.
Aren't we in the Caribbean?
Yeah, we are.
Okay, let's make it sure.
But it's important. Cricket as a sport.
Yes.
And the culture of cricket the culture surrounding cricket is instrumental in the development of regional identity, regional politics, right? And most importantly, regional identity and how we see ourselves in the region and in the world, juxtaposed to our colonial history, right? So when I think it's Sobers. Anyway, when West Indies team beat the British team for the first time, but look here, you could hear a pin drop throughout the whole Caribbean. And then as soon as the pin drop, all you could hear is cheering. Every person of African descent, every person who was not white, right? Anybody who was not white.
Yes.
Was like, we have won, we done win the Third World War.
Yes.
You know, it's just, and Christian Campbell, Bahamian Rhodes Scholar, Bahamian and Trinidadian descent, gave a presentation, and I can't remember the name of the lecture right now, but perhaps one of the most phenomenal lectures in the country, where he juxtaposed, he was watching the Golden Girls run. And he was reading the Black Jacobins.
Okay.
And it made him reflect on when West Indies won, beat Britain for the first time in cricket. And he juxtaposed that to the Golden Girls winning on that grand stage. And what it meant, not just what it could mean for Bahamians and the Caribbean. And what it in context of what similar events evoked in the spirit of Africans at that time, right? It's just a wonderful lecture. Hey, Christian Campbell, if you get a chance to read anything by him, he's focused on his poetry now.
Yes.
I love his political essays, and you know, that sort of interrogative work. But we can talk about Pauline too. Since we're talking about the Golden Girls, we can talk about Pauline too. Another text, great show as usual. Don't forget to mention Pookie them still killing like they have a license to kill. Great show as usual. You forgot to mention the mental health in the country. Well, I do have on the list of things that we have to pay attention to. What about the coroner's court? And who is investigating police killings?
Yes.
I mean, you know,
our cop read it off. If you have a gun, a mysterious gun that appears on the scene, they're not interested in finding out what went wrong.
Well, no.
It is what it is, he said.
Well, no, it was better than that, because I thought he said, well, listen, what I could do is I can start my own investigative committee. I can look into why my guys are killing these boys. And don't mind that I tell you that I tell them don't come back dead. Don't mind that either. Anyway, dear Commissioner of Police, I just want to remind you that for a number of years now, people, including myself, have been reminding you to measure your words.
Because
while your intent may be sincere,
he's not good at that speaking.
You may have painted yourself into a dangerous corner that cannot be defended by the law.
Yeah.
Aaron, what is the status of food being produced at BAMSI that can help with inflation if we can grow our own food? Cuba, Jamaica, and Haiti should be the top countries we should get our fruit and vegetables from if we can't produce it ourselves. We cannot depend solely on the U.S. anymore.
Boy, Aaron, I just want to say, we're not even going to concentrate on Jamaica, Cuba, and Haiti. We're going to go to Dubai, because Dubai is where we can import our food from.
No, I thought we were just going to import technology from Dubai.
You think that's why we sent the Ministry of Agriculture there for technology?
Yeah, to go look at the agricultural-based technology.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I could be honest with you.
That's what you thought. Now, I'm just saying that Dubai imports 90% of their agriculture now. 90%. I think we import less. We had a better stance than Dubai altogether, because we know that we need to diminish how much we import. Whereas they desperate. Hold they on. Import everything.
Dubai is importing 90% of what they need.
90% what they need. They don't grow nothing.
So we should have sent customs. We should have sent the Department of Customs down there, because that's the type of technology they're going to send us, right? So that we could clear the imported goods at a rate that it would make sense to import things.
None of this makes sense, Aaron. It don't make sense, Aaron.
At the rate at which it takes to clear things, it don't even make sense to import things. Also,
19 of them gone. Aaron, it don't make sense, Aaron. 19 of them gone.
No, I could be honest with you. At one point, I thought they went to go and find out how Dubai is making sand. I thought they went to go find out how Dubai is making sand.
I see the joke in that and the humor. Yeah.
Anyway, I want to...
Fly over Cuba, fly over Jamaica, fly over Haiti. All these places produce agriculture.
And even that. It's because even if you go in for tech, right? You still got to go to a low-tech country.
Yep.
You can't handle... And so I question, in fact, I got a number of things here on my little agriculture list, right?
Past United States technology.
My God.
Why should it have gone to Israel? At least they're growing things floating in the air. I would understand that.
Yeah, man, they're growing things in the middle of the desert.
We could do that.
Well, you got to go 85 miles into the ground to get water. Yeah. And Israel growing lime.
Yeah.
This is what hurts me.
See, I would appreciate that.
How is it that Israel is growing limes and we not growing any kind of commercial citrus anymore? You know, you could grow citrus in a warehouse, like in a greenhouse,
yeah,
in a sealed environment. You could still do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. Except when you consider the gravitas. Anyway, the merchant class holds such a large space in the Bahamian political space, political class.
Yes.
That I don't think they can understand anything that disrupts this merchant culture. Mm-hmm. They can't even tolerate it.
No.
They just shut off.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I got a caller on the line, and then I got some more texts here. Caller, you're on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Miss Green.
Good morning. How you doing?
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nui.
Blessings.
I'm in a fury.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Green, and to Nui, right? Let us remind the people or status quo, whoever, right, even, that Dubai is on the planet Earth, and the Bible says, whoa, 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 to the inhabitants of the Earth. So I agree with you and see, so we're flown over Haiti, flown over Jamaica, all of these places that are agriculturally inclined, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I agree with the narrative he's pushing, but what has got me, when you was talking about Dr. Darwin, so I'm interested in who is this big global puppeteer sitting in the sky passing off all the pseudoscience, right, and subterfuge. And so I see where in the States, I don't even hear about Justin Trudeau because, you know, it's just ridiculous what's going on. I've been talking about these things for years, but the thing is,
I thought you were going to say because of the media blackout, but I got you.
Prepare for more blackouts. There'll be a cyber 9/11 attack. There's a lot of global constructs to put on the sheep that they don't know about that I've been talking about for years. But here's what I want to say. In the book, The Great Reset, COVID-19 and The Great Reset, it speaks of some governments will be more egalitarian and some will become more authoritarian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right?
Absolutely.
Authoritarian.
Yeah.
Right? And so the fact that we don't want to let our government know that they have this power, right? These emergency powers that are sitting cork, locked, and ready to be implemented on us. And that's what is frightening to me. So I see where in the States where the NIH or one of these NGOs are being taken to court to disclose information. So what I was saying is the NIH denied the gain-of-function research and hid data, integral data, in a case against these pharmaceutical companies. So what I'm looking at is, they said a 13-day-old baby died from COVID. So I would like for the government to disclose the cycle threshold in which the positive was received for the PCR test, even though the Food and Drug Administration said we must discontinue the use of this nucleic amplification test, this PCR test. There's six other nucleic amplification tests that they could be doing. So once you don't disclose, and this is done deliberately to not have legal... The public didn't have to be privy to this information about the PCR test. The cycle threshold is the number in which Dr. Fauci mentioned nothing over 35 is positive. Dr. McCullough said 25, so the disparity I go on with Dr. McCullough.
Okay.
The viral loads are low. It's not a positive, so we would like to know the cycle threshold for the 13-day-old baby, which I think is really disinformation because I don't believe it could happen, and they're using that narrative to push this vaccine that they know doesn't stop transmission.
All right,
so
thank
that's
you.
What's scary for me. Have a good
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. Thank you, 52. I can be honest with you. That's a whole lot of information.
Yes.
But 52, I can find a funder. I want you to document this so people can better consume it, right, in chunks, and then that they could use it.
He needs his own YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And talk about a topic every day.
Yeah, to develop it. Because I sat on a Freedom of Information panel last night, and I can understand, right, there are elements of this There's information that we should have access to.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, why don't we have access to it? Is it because the state has determined that we shouldn't have access to it? Or is it because the healthcare system is so dysfunctional that they can't provide access to it and do their job at the same time? They're just so overwhelmed. But let's go back to that just for a second. Dr. Darvill, y'all even haven't told us the status of your billing program. Remember when the hospital is broke, not because people aren't paying their bills, but because people can't pay their bills because they're not being issued invoices for the services received, right? How are you going to fix that? Have you fixed that yet? And how are you going to fix it? Because what's not said is that there are a ton of insurance companies that are expecting invoices and haven't gotten them and have not gotten up, thrown their arms in the air and said, do you want the entire insurance system to collapse? Because if you don't send us an invoice, we can't pay the bill. You know why the hospital isn't functioning. It's because of y'all. But y'all want to continue to restrict us. And then tell us, well, when we get the hospital fixed? You cannot be serious, sir.
No, he wasn't serious. But again, people cheered. Said, that was brilliantly said.
I refuse to believe. Where did this happen?
You just don't look. They say it was a good speech, one of his better ones.
I got you. Let's get to this text. Text says, we need Brave and PLP to increase survivors' benefits. Those poor people make less than $400 a month. If the country can pay huge, outrageous contracts, increase the survivors' benefit right away within the so-called third richest country in the Western Hemisphere. You see, a number of people have been saying, look, stop telling Bahamians that they are not worth a salary that's a global standard. And that's not what we're saying. We're saying that you could get into the job,
yes,
but then you have to prove that you've delivered that. You don't just get that salary and don't have to perform. See, that's the political culture. That's the political class's way of thinking. That you deserve the salary because you're a professional and there's no requirement to perform. You have to perform to get these big salaries. And I could be honest with you, nobody who worked on anything in Abaco should get paid anything because the whole thing is one big mess. I might as well just get on my camel and first of all, customs. Are y'all going to release my camel or what?
From Dubai?
Yeah. I'll pay the bill as soon as you tell me what it is. But I will ride my camel straight down Frank Watson Boulevard.
That's a long drive.
For the people of Abaco. And since we're talking about Frank Watson Boulevard, Cecil, pass me that paper, just the top sheet. Let me make sure I read this thing properly. This is another thing that happened in the Bahamas yesterday or day before yesterday, and I cannot believe it.
Go ahead.
So I'm saying this is a story from yesterday's Tribune. Let me just get that date correct. No, Valentine's Day. Tribune. Foucault calls $24 million fossil fuels game changer.
Who's Focal again? That's Frankie Wilson?
Yeah. Okay. So that's F-O-C-O-L Holdings. Focal Holdings. Focal Holdings temporarily increased its bank overdraft by 247% to finance a, quote, game changer in our transformation, close quotes, to beat reduced fossil fuels usage, its chairman has revealed. This is where it gets great. So Franklin Wilson told the Tribune Business that the BSIX-listed petroleum products supplier more than tripled its overdraft, growing such borrowings by almost $24 million to finance the acquisition of additional electricity generation capacity that will be rented to BPL.
What? That don't make some sense.
Hold on. When BPL was created, we were told that BEC is the company that generates,
distributes
power.
Yes.
And BPL is the management company.
Yes.
But Frankie Wilson said
it's a separate company.
It's additional electricity generation that will be rented to BPL. So what I want to know is when did Focal get into the power generation business.
Well, they didn't borrow the money, so I guess they're already in the power generation business.
No, you think this is the DIA. You have to get approved before you could borrow the money, right? Isn't that how it works?
It was, but one would assume, but clearly, if they borrowed the money, they already have the approval.
And by DRA, I mean digging roads up.
Of
That's
course.
My Abaco people that say that. They're digging the roads up.
Yes.
So, does this mean now that Focal has taken over BC's role as the entity that generates, or is BC renting generation, the renting, because that's what it says, right? It says that they will rent.
And I'm thinking, I'm trying to analyze it, but definitely sounds like Focal supplies or creates energy.
Right.
Yeah.
But
definitely
I thought,
from that.
I thought Focal ship in the Earl.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought.
To spill in Clifton, the spill in Clifton pier for 40 years now. I thought that's what they did.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying that they spill it.
Yeah, just
but oil Clifton pier is
spill.
Spilling.
Yeah, there's slick. There's slick there for sure. You go swimming over there, you smell like gas.
Right. So BPL is a management company.
Okay.
Does that mean now that Focal is a generation company? Or BC is still a generation company, right? But BC don't have no money.
But I thought we were trying to move away from this oil thing, have alternative energy.
I agree with
you. I'm kind of concerned that it seems as if the company is trying to position itself to be in the life of BPL for life.
They
can be here for life.
Hold on, pause. BPL is a private entity. Focal and BPL could do what they want. It sounds like Focal trying to be in my life.
For life?
Forever. I'm
concerned.
I am very concerned.
And they bragging about it.
So listen, may read the story. So Franklin responded, right? Mm-hmm. Focal today is a very substantial provider of energy.
It's point blank.
But I mean, do you mean provider of fuel that makes energy?
No. They didn't say that. They didn't say number fuel just now.
Right, because it says he disclosed that this is the overdraft, right? It mentioned at the top.
Yeah.
Funded the purchase of a 27 megawatt engine currently being installed at BPL's Clifton Pier to help meet New Providence peak summer load demand.
So they own BPL?
No, they own the engine.
But I mean, how can they get the engine? Who gave them permission to even do that?
Who's cell generators? Who's helping acquire generators?
Apparently, the people in Grand Bahama knows where to get generators from. Because they sell it. They sell it in Grand Bahama.
Listen. So he explained that this took Focal's generation capacity to a total 43 megawatts when added to the 16 megawatts already leased to the state-owned utility and installed at its Blue Hills location. What?
So they are the power generation providers, and they're leasing, have a deal to lease energy to BPL.
Because you say that as if you have replaced BC. You don't say it like, look here, we just rent this thing to BEC so that BEC could be the main power provider.
No.
That ain't what you're saying.
That's
you're
not
saying
the verbiage
it's you.
Yes. That's
but
what
like you say, so Franklin responded, Focal today is a very substantial provider of energy. He goes on to say, this is huge. This is a game changer for the company. This energy generation is capital intensive. It's a long-term play.
Long-term play, you say?
What we hope is to continue to protect the company long-term in a transition from fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm. They can keep their business no matter what.
Listen, Sir Franklin said Focal's focus on multi-fuel generation engines also highlighted its intentions to be a player in the Bahamas' renewable energy landscape.
Mm-hmm. Lock us right in.
We anticipate having more than a token presence in the area of renewables. Quote, close quotes.
Mm-hmm. Big time influence.
We have a project at an advanced stage of planning, and God willing, the public will hear about it in the not too distant future. No.
Soon. It's a secret
if
now.
The public are willing. If the citizens of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas are willing, we will let you tell us about it.
He said that just now.
He say him and God running this.
Yes. And he said it, and you still trying to make excuses. He said that this will happen. And now you trying to reverse it and said, if it can only happen if the Bahamian people allow it to happen. That you putting the horse and the carriage differently. It done happen.
I got to take a look. I got to take a walk on Frank Watson Boulevard. Because maybe I'll have a different perspective if I'm looking at it from Frank Watson Boulevard.
It's a done deal. They are energy providers. Look, they don't supply gas and oil and whatever it is no more.
And so this, so Ford 5, 2017, 2016, prior to the election, when all this talk about Alstom,
yeah,
and Fred Ramsey,
yeah,
and generators
going to jail.
All I want to know is, what's the difference between Shell North America and Shell America?
Hmm.
And what's the name of the local Shell body? Back then I was begging people to answer these questions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I spent years begging people to answer these questions. Some people even told me that I don't qualify to ask BPL or anybody questions.
I want to know, how dare you even read this into the record? You bold to even question such things.
I mean, when I was photocopying it from the Tribune, mm-hmm, and posted it internationally, I thought the same thing.
But hey, no, behemoths don't read. You are a different type of bohemian. How did you even see that?
Especially with the way that power don't stay on. It's difficult. Aaron, until or unless we, meaning the government, implement a full and comprehensive Freedom of Information Act, all the issues you are discussing will persist. Another text, great show as usual. How come the government don't let the prisoners farm? Opposite the people in Fox Hill Prison playing dominoes all day long, or as opposed to them just recreation. And on TikTok, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Listen, they do be on TikTok. I see them.
Yeah. I figure they'd be searching medical care.
Mm.
They'd be looking for medical care. A great show as usual. We grow something in the Bahamas. It's called a high cost of living. Trust me, don't get a camel. Someone would teeth the camel, Miss Green.
Oh, Lord, they could teeth your camel.
Okay, good morning, Aaron. Petroleum can't be moved from that narrative, and let's talk solar only. They are leasing the engines from Focal. Listen, we know they're leasing the engines from Focal.
Didn't say that.
I wanted to talk solar only until I realized that Focal, mm-hmm, wanted to be the only person allowed, yes, to talk solar.
Yes.
You see?
And they positioned themselves to do that. So you could talk about all this renewable energy and whatever as much as you want. Someone has a head start.
Yes.
And they positioned themselves to be the sole head start.
Because they could afford to buy the sun.
Yes.
See, Minutes could afford to fly to the moon to go fishing. Mm-hmm. And some of these boy them could afford. Don't fly to the sun. Don't waste our money flying to the sun.
No.
But we get the point. Another text. LOL, Cecil is like a Motown backup singer. Well, you hear what I'm talking? I didn't tell Cecil, sign this disclaimer to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Don't just be following up with me talking foolishness on the radio. Another text.
End up selling fruit.
Aaron, the top 1% rich individuals and families are determined to own every piece of infrastructure in our country. This energy generation move is exactly this. Welcome to the Bahamas. Well, I told you the show today is called, on this week's episode of the Bahamas, here are some of the things that we didn't touch on. The FNM convention race. And the question I have to ask is, why all the men from Grand Bahama in politics sound the same? They sound exactly the same. Rising prices and supply chain issues we still need to talk about. UK group buying one hotel. Who is buying the next hotel? Where did the container business go? Agriculture. FTX is still giving big. Who is the ADO, Agricultural Development Organization? Food prices are rising, but can local farmers, fishermen, and vendors solve the problem? And the most important question we didn't ask today, Cecil, where are all the truancy officers? Where are the truancy? Do we have to send truancy officers for truancy officers?
COVID. Truancy officers of COVID.
Mr. Nuri, thank you so much for joining me today. My producer, thank you so much. To my audience, thank you for tuning in to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Remember, stay tuned because Guardian Radio AM is next with an all-new, brand-new host for you today. Stay tuned. Have a great day, Bahamas.